Today we are virtually sitting down with Mike Schmidt. Mike has previously worked in the DA's office with former Multnomah County District Attorney Mike Schrunk. He is currently the Executive Director of the Criminal Justice Commission, an organizing body that serves as the policy development forum for state and local criminal justice systems. He is Vice President of the National Criminal Justice Association and serves on the board of the National Association of Sentencing Commissions. Now he is running for Multnomah County District Attorney, a position that puts him in charge of deciding who gets charged with a crime and who doesn't, as well as the severity of the charge. He is running against Ethan Knight, who was recently graded a D by the organization Oregon DA for the People. Mike has been endorsed by the Oregonian, Willamette Week, Kate Brown, and various unions and justice organizations across Oregon. There are less than 2 weeks until the May 19th election. Mike Schmidt, welcome and thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Natalie. Glad to be here.
I think something most people don't know is the district attorney is the most powerful position in the criminal justice system. What inspired you to run for DA?
Yeah, I think you're right. Even throughout this campaign, I've encountered many voters, and when I tell them I'm running for district attorney, they're not sure what the job entails, if that's like a public defender type role. Why I want to run for DA is because I believe we need major reform now in our criminal justice system. I have been in the district attorney's office. I did that work. I was there from 2007 to 2013, handled felony cases, misdemeanor cases, did drug courts. And while I felt like I was helping people and doing some good work individually, I didn't feel like I was changing or fixing the system. So I got out, went to the legislature, and then, as you mentioned, have been at the Criminal Justice Commission since, which is a statewide state agency that works on making our criminal justice system more efficient, more effective, more legitimate. And so I've seen firsthand that using data and using research that we can get better outcomes than what we're currently getting in our system, that we're over-reliant on incarceration, and that we can actually improve public safety and use less incarceration at the same time. So when I saw the opportunity to run to be the district attorney of Multnomah County, the person who does get to decide what people are charged with and what sentences to advocate for and seek, I thought having a person who's both been in the office but then left and worked on criminal justice reform issues for the last 6 years of my career, that this was just a very unique opportunity and one where I could have a big impact.
As director of the Criminal Justice Commission, you already work to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of our criminal justice system. For example, you worked to implement a new statewide justice reinvestment program to decrease recidivism. And you've expressed multiple times the importance of using data to continue to reform the system. What are some strategies that you plan to use as district attorney to help lower the incarceration rate in Oregon?
Yeah. So criminal justice reinvestment is really a program. It was founded in legislation in 2013 that focused on the fact that Oregon's prison population has been increasing now since the voters passed Measure 11 and even a little bit before that, which is our mandatory sentencing scheme. And we were to the place where we were going to have to build a brand new prison just to accommodate our ever increasing numbers of people who are incarcerated. And what we've done for the last 6-7 years now that program's been running is been making investments into local communities, into supervision services, into housing, into treatment, into the things that get at the root causes of why many people end up in the criminal justice system in the first place. And we see that when we evaluate some of these programs, that we actually end up getting better results in terms of less future crimes committed than what we would expect to get if we had just sent those people to prison. So for me, it really is a strategy. It's a public safety strategy that, keeping people in the community but working on the underlying issues can both hold them accountable and keep our communities more safe and save us state resources that can be reinvested into things like our educational system or our healthcare system or, treatment and mental health facilities. So it really is, I think, a good public safety strategy to figure out how we can incarcerate less But you do have to make sure that you're getting better public safety results, that people are committing less crimes, and that they're still held accountable. So I would continue the Justice Reinvestment Program in Multnomah County. I'm a big advocate also for their drug courts and mental health courts and veteran court that they have in this county. So continuing those programs, but I'd also like to look into things that haven't really been pursued in Multnomah County, like restorative justice, and how can we bring restorative justice type programs and policies to an adult population? We have it a little bit in the juvenile population that goes through the criminal justice system, but how can we expand those things into the adult system as well? So I think there's a lot of different policies that the next district attorney has an opportunity to pursue that can help us use less incarceration and continue to get better outcomes than if we were just locking people up.
I think most of us can acknowledge that the prison industrial complex is not an adequate replacement for mental health care. So as DA, how could you work on making sure people with mental health conditions don't get lost in the system?
Yeah, I think this is one of the bigger challenges that we face. I've worked on it in Salem to some extent. In 2019, I worked on legislation called Senate Bill 973 that created a new program that is just now starting to get underway in terms of a grant program called Impacts. And the whole idea of Impacts was, for the first time, we looked at who is in our jails, and we cross-referenced that information with our Medicaid data. And what we saw was that 9% of the people who are booked in a year in Oregon into our jails, 9% of the people take up 30% of all of our jail bookings. And when you look at those same people in terms of their medical data, you see that they are 150% more likely to be in our emergency departments and 650% times more likely than their peers to have co-occurring mental illness and addiction issues. So it's a very high needs population, and we're not serving them. They're just getting booked and released in our jails over and over and over again. So that program that we're working to set up would bring grant funds to counties to try to do innovative wraparound services that are targeting specifically those people who are just cycling in and out and in and out of our systems. That's, for me as a DA, that's going to be one of the things that I'm looking at, again, using the data and the research, and then trying to pursue grant funds that are going to help us actually try to get at the root causes. When I see people who are suffering from mental illness booked into our jails, and then being held there for times that are longer than somebody who committed the same crime but or is accused of the same crime but doesn't have a mental illness, that's just fundamentally inequitable. And I understand why that happens in our system, but it's not acceptable, and we need to do everything we can to make sure that we're not incarcerating people because they're mentally ill.
Another thing that has been obviously considered inequitable and unfair is cash bail, something that exists in many communities across the country and certainly in Oregon. And you have advocated for ending cash bail, which is a policy that puts additional pressure on marginalized communities. What other systems do you hope to implement instead of cash bail?
If we're going to eliminate cash bail, which I think is absolutely crucial, because as you say rightly, it's inequitable. We essentially right now have a system that if you have money, you don't have to stay in jail pending your charges getting to a court hearing. But if you're poor, you do. That just is fundamentally unfair. The only things that should dictate whether or not you're held in jail before your trial should be, if you were released, are you immediately dangerous to the public and the community? If so, you should stay in jail. If not, you shouldn't. And then secondly, whether or not you would show up again, and if you if you have a history of failing to appear over and over and over again, then that might be a reasonable reason to hold somebody in jail. But otherwise, whether or not somebody has $500 should have no bearing on whether or not they're held in jail. So it's absolutely crucial that we end that practice that's discriminatory and especially hits communities of color inequitably in Oregon and across the country. To be able to get rid of cash bail, though, we need to invest in more pretrial supervision services. And it's, there are some low-tech solutions, very low cost, things like sending people a text message to remind them that they have court today so that they show up. And then sometimes it's a little bit more intense costs like ankle bracelets and monitoring so that we can make sure that, the community is protected while the person is not in custody. So there's a range of things that we can make investments in order to make sure that our community is protected and safe, and also at the same time make sure that we're not discriminating against people just because they don't have the means to bail themselves out.
So a big concern for a lot of our listeners is the presence of ICE in our community. And you have said you don't plan to cooperate with ICE beyond what is legally required. What could ICE ask of you in the future, and where do you intend to draw the line?
You know, what the state of Oregon law currently says is that we are not to use state resources to help federal officials enforce their federal immigration laws. That's a federal obligation and duty, and that's where their resources can be spent. So really, for me, it's that I'm not going to use any of my resources to enforce those laws, and that when ICE, as we've seen recently, is subpoenaing, public safety officials for information, that if they don't have that signed by a judge, I would fight those subpoenas as other officials across our community have. And I haven't seen a ruling from a judge on that yet, but I would continue to make sure that we're standing up and not sharing that information. There is publicly available information that anybody, the public, has access to, and ICE, of course, has access to that same information. So it's not about impeding them. That would not be legal, but it is about not using Multnomah County's resources to enforce federal law. As the director of the Criminal Justice Commission, we receive federal Burn JAG grants is the name of the grant. And those grants, the Trump administration suspended back in 2017, and we fought them in the courts, and we won. And so now they have to continue giving us those grants, even though they say that we are non-compliant and that we are a sanctuary state. So, I have a history of standing up to the Trump administration on this issue and fighting them in court and winning. And I would continue to do that as the district attorney and make sure that I'm using our resources on Multnomah County, and that, I also need to make sure public safety is one of the most important things in my role. And if there are members of our community that are afraid to call the police, or they're afraid to come to the courthouse and testify as a victim of crime or as a witness to crime, that makes all of us less safe. So creating a space and protecting our immigrant communities is also the right, not only is it the right thing to do, it's good for public safety. It's good for everybody. And so as DA, I want to make sure that those communities know that they can reach out to my office and not fear that I'm going to share that information with immigration so that we can make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect not only them, but our entire community.
Are there any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners today?
You know, I think the last thing that probably bears saying is that this is a real unique opportunity. It's unique here in Multnomah County, and it's really unique in our state and nationally. District attorneys' offices are rarely in contested elections. In Multnomah County, we have not had a contested DA race for at least four decades. Mike Shrunk took over as the DA in 1981, and I don't even believe he was contested in that race. So this is the first time in almost 40 years that Multnomah County voters have been asked to weigh in on what would they like to see their top criminal justice official, how would they like them to shape our criminal justice system. So it really is just an amazing opportunity to have a conversation about issues that the public rarely gets to weigh in on. I hope that people really learn as much as they can, go to our website, find us on social media, and learn as much as you can, and then share that information with your neighbors, because this is really a pretty awesome and unique opportunity.
We've been speaking with Mike Schmidt, who is running for Multnomah County District Attorney. The election is coming up May 19th, and you can find more information about his platform online at mikeschmidtforda.com. For KBOO News in Depth, I'm Nat Moon.